right? How many of you say, I love the Lord? I believe most of us today would say, I do indeed love the Lord, only because he loved me first. Well, let me ask you this question. How many would say, I love my neighbor? Not as many hands are raised then. But Jesus said we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. I like this, a billboard that said, that love thy neighbor thing, I meant that. Sign God. I want to preach today on the subject loving and leading your neighbor. Loving and leading your neighbor. And by the way, on a lighter note, notice, I love mankind, it's just the people I can't stand. And so often that's the case with us. It's God's love that has to be shed abroad in our heart in order for us to love people, especially the way that God loves us. And so here's the title of the message today, Loving and Leading Your Neighbor. Loving God and Loving Your Neighbor. And speaking of that, do you know we've only got one shot at this thing called life? We've only got one shot at it. That's right. Do you know, I was reading here recently, if a man lives to be 70 years old, or a woman lives to be 70 years old, someone has mathematically calculated that a person who, the average person that lives to be 70, they will spend 23 years sleeping. Maybe some more than that for some of us, but anyway, 23 years of 70 years sleeping. Get this, 16 years working. And get this, 8 years. Can you imagine what 8 years is going to be? I mean, eating and 8 years of spending time. Someone has calculated 6 years of traveling back and forth and leisure activity. 6 whole years of 70, the year if you live to be 70. But get this, 2 solid years of dressing. We'll spend 2 years of 70 years dressing. Now, if you think that's something, listen to this. Do you know if you live to be 70 years old, you will spend about a year and a half on your spiritual life? That is, if you go to church 3 hours a week. 3 hours a week. And by the way, that's only a year and a half. You'll spend, and I'll spend more time getting dressed than we do serving or worshiping or loving the Lord. 3 hours a week. And by the way, this means if you have a devotion every day, someone has calculated at least 10 minutes in the morning, at least 10 minutes at night, and then if you spend 3 hours a week in church, you'll only have 1.5 years of 70 years of spiritual focus. When I read that, I said, it can't be. And so that's why as a church, and that's why we encourage you, and that's why we have 2 services on Sunday morning and Sunday school in between, and then Sunday night service and Wednesday night. We don't apologize. Why? Because it's our goal, it's our passion to see all of us grow up in the Lord and become all that God wants us to be, spiritually speaking. Now think about that in the light of living to be 70 years old, a year and a half. That's if you spend 3 hours a week in church. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought, dear God, where are my priorities? Lord, what is my focus in life? And speaking of that, I heard about a man and a lady were making their New Year's resolution, Brother Cale, and appreciate you doing a great job with the sign, you and Sissy. Anyway, a man said, he said his wife had a New Year's resolution. I don't do New Year's resolution, but anyway, she said, I've got a New Year's resolution. They said, what is it? She said, I want to be happy all year long. That's my New Year's resolution. They said to him, they said, well, what is your New Year's resolution? He said, my New Year's resolution is to make sure she keeps her New Year's resolution to be happy. Mine is to keep her happy all year long. And by the way, let me tell you this. Remember last week I told you about me getting a text message. Well, I hope this doesn't embarrass my dear brother and friend, but I got to say it. I got a text message the other day that said, from a man that I love and appreciate. He said, Brother Randy, will you marry me? and he's sitting right here this morning. I thought, dear God, I'm already married, happily married at that. I knew what he meant, but Brother Floyd Ellis sent me, I hadn't told you that, but that was hilarious. When I got that, I've laughed since I got that. Well, anyway, and I said, yes, I would be glad to not marry you, but to be involved in your wedding, granted. Well, we're looking at today, this subject, loving and leading your neighbor. Say that with me. Loving and leading your neighbor. One more time. Now, I know this may be a little fuzzy and may be a little blurry to all of us at this point, all this loving your neighbor and all this loving God. But I'm telling you, I believe the Spirit of God is going to use this in our life, and we're going to see absolute lives change for the glory of our Lord. And here's where we're going today in the message. We're going to talk about four key strategies, four tools, if you will, that God is going to use in your life and my life as we love our neighbor. And we're going to see the Lord do some great and mighty things in 2019 for his glory. And so I want to invite you today, as we're going to look at one verse in the scripture, these four key strategies are found in this one verse, and we'll tell you those in just a moment. But they are this: who is your neighbor you're going to love and lead? Number one, who is your neighbor you're going to love and lead in 2019? Number two, how are you going to love and lead your neighbor in 2019? Number three, what tools has God given us to love and lead your neighbor in 2019? And then number four, and that is, why should you love and lead your neighbor in 2019? I want to invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we're going to look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy, I was praying this week, and as usual, and asking the Lord what he'd have me to share this coming Sunday, and the Lord began to burst some things on my heart in regards to this title of loving and leading your neighbor. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You're well aware, as you're finding 2 Timothy chapter 2, that the Apostle Paul is writing what we call here this swan song. Why is it called a swan song? It's because he's up in age by this time. He has fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He's about ready to depart. In fact, he told Timothy that. He said, my departure's at hand. I'm ready to be offered. I'm going to tell you, life is short. It's just really short. I know some things have happened here recently and let us know the brevity of life and yet the certainty of death. And I hope today that you're prepared to meet God. And if you're a Christian, that you're able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and to be able to receive some crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. So Paul is writing to his son in the Lord, Timothy, right here in 2 Timothy. And we're going to pick up, he's getting ready, Paul is, to be martyred. And 2 Timothy, if you'd like to stand, we're going to read chapter 2, just the first four verses of chapter 2. But I want you to please pay special attention to verse 2. And hold your Bibles open, because this is where we're going to focus today, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Loving and leading your neighbor. In 2 Timothy 2, if you're there, say amen. And Paul the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong. I like that word strong. It's a present tense, and it means endurance. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, the things that thou hast heard. I want you to underline verse 2. The things I preached from this text before, but not this same message, because this verse is really just loaded with truth. Verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, what's the next word? Say it with me. The next word is what? Commit. The same commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men. Yes, faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others? Who shall be able to teach others also? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's that the Lord's called us to be soldiers. No man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this life, that it may please him who had called him to be a soldier. Again, for the sake of emphasis, look at verse 2 once again. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. I hope that word will just be etched in your soul. I trust that word will ring in your heart. that the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. And this isn't just for teachers, by the way. This is for every Christian. Father, thank you that you are alive, Jesus. You have indeed conquered the grave. You have risen, and you're on the right hand, ready to return for your bride. And we anticipate that glorious trumpet sound, and Jesus, you descending from heaven on the clouds of heaven, and hearing the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then you said the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we look forward to seeing those in fellowship and reunion once again. And then we'll be caught up together with the clouds to meet you in the air, and so shall we ever be with you forever. And I pray now that, Father, you will do what only you can do in every heart this year, this morning, Lord, that we would yield afresh to you. God, I know you want to change me, and I know you want to do a deeper work in me, greater faith and greater love and greater purpose and greater vision and greater things that you're anticipating for your children and your people here in 2019. Oh, blessed God, we love you. We need you now. And I'm asking for fresh oil and fresh cleansing by the blood of the crucified Lamb of God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd fill every listener, our eyes and our ears and our hearts would be attuned to thus saith the Lord. And that, God, when we sit under the word of God, we'd receive it, the incorruptible, indestructible seed. It'd bring healing to our hearts, help to our souls, hope, Lord, to your coming again one day. And we thank you now for victory in Jesus. We give you glory now. How you're going to birth people on our heart, how you're going to impress upon our minds today how we're to be salt and light, and how we're to be about your business. Oh, God, be glorified, Lord, as we anticipate men, women, boys, and girls being gloriously snatched out of the fires of hell, brought into your marvelous light, and hearing the cries of newborn babes, and then seeing men of God, women of God, young people, teenagers, children, taking up a cross, triumphantly marching forward until you call us home. And we thank you now for who you are and what you've done for me and what you've done for us and what you're going to do as we trust you by faith. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. Here's where we're going. I already mentioned to you the four key strategies for this coming year. Four key strategies. Number one, who is your neighbor? And who is your neighbor you're going to love and lead in 2019? I find that in the text in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul said, he said that the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. There's the word I want you to focus on for right now. In a moment, we'll travel to these other key strategies and tools, if you will, that God is going to use. But for right now, who is your neighbor? I want you to think right now. Who is the neighbor that God has on my heart? Who is it that I need to start praying for today? Who is it that God wants me to share and pour into in these coming days? Number one, who is your neighbor? And that is faithful men. Faithful men. All right? So let's talk about that for a moment. Loving your neighbor as loving yourself. Maybe that's why we don't are not really interested in reaching out to our neighbor. Maybe we're so inward focused that we are not outward focused. And there's nothing wrong with the Lord refining us and maturing us. But wait a minute. It's not about us. It's about him. And so some of you today may not feel very good about yourself. Maybe today you say, well, I don't feel good about myself. Well, the reason you don't is because you don't understand the word of God. That God said we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God made you in his image, and the Lord has a plan for you, and the Lord has a purpose for you. And the question is, are you fulfilling that purpose? You'll only, and I'll only find significance in life and meaning and purpose in life when I'm willing to yield to the will of God for me and carry out his plan and his purpose for my life. So, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Look, God has commanded us to love our neighbor. So who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? That's what I wonder. Who is your neighbor? Think right now. You may not have somebody living next door. They might be saved. We're talking about unchurched people. We're talking about people who don't go to church anywhere. Many that aren't saved. Many that are lost. How many believe that people still die without God? How many believe people still go to a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched? How many believe today that people still need the Lord? Amen. People still need the Lord. Amen. Aren't you concerned about your neighbor? Aren't you concerned about somebody in your family that if they died, they wouldn't go to heaven? Aren't you concerned about people even in our community? Don't just be satisfied with your relationship with God. Reach out to somebody else. Let them know that this is not just all about me, but it's all about fulfilling the will of God. Number one, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And under this heading, I've got two things I want to share. Number one, go back to chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice again what Paul said. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto what kind of men? What kind of men? Faithful men. Say that with me. Faithful men. One more time. Why am I asking you to say that? Because that's important, beloved. Now, by the way, the word faithful men, or it could be faithful women. Granted, if you're someone who knows a lady, it could be translated the mentoring process, the loving process. What does this word faithful men mean? It means dependable. It means trustworthy. It means reliable. What am I saying? Paul evidently found this young man in the Lord, Timothy, began to pour into Timothy. How many know that we're not what we ought to be today? Hello? And a lot of people we know may not be right in the right relationship with God as God wants them to be. Your goal, listen to me, if you're listening, say amen. Your goal and my goal is to be used of God to bring them to a relationship with the Lord. And in so doing, God will bring great joy to your heart, and you'll thank God for it. Now, let me take a quick survey. How many of you today would say, I've got a family member that I know is really not where they ought to be with the Lord? Raise your hand if you know some family member, okay? Probably most of us right here have some family member we know is not in the right relationship with God. Well, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit there and do nothing about it? You say, but Pastor, I can't only do so much. I understand. But you can do what God has called you to do. Number one, you can pray. You can pray. But there's more than that what you can do. And we'll be talking about that in a moment. So start with your family. How many mamas, how many grandmamas have some grandchildren that you know is really not where they ought to be with the Lord? How many granddads have somebody? Granddads, look up here. Grandmas, look up here. Mamas, look up here. Daddies, look up here. How many of you got a family member right now that you know is not really in the will of God, and therefore you're going to pray for them? Let me see your hand. You're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for them. Good. Very good. Very good. Very good. And God is going to honor that. Maybe you have been praying for them. Maybe you've given up on them. Hey, look. Sometimes things don't happen in our timetable. Can I get an amen? Sometimes things don't work on your timetable and my timetable. God has his timetable. But we know this, God is true to his word. I said, God is true to his word. No matter what you think, no matter how you feel, no matter what you see, God is true to his word, and the word of God is what you can trust, and the lordship of Jesus Christ is what you can trust. Therefore, I want to urge you, don't give up on your loved ones. Stop. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop pouring into them, but keep believing God. Keep praying that the Lord will turn their hearts around. Sometimes it's later in life. I wish you could be where I'm at sometimes, hearing the testimonies of children and grandchildren standing at a funeral home and hearing firsthand. The loved one never hears a lot of what I hear, but I hear them saying what an influence that loved one had in their life, how they served the Lord, how they loved the Lord, how they pointed them to Jesus. I want to tell you something. God is faithful. He is faithful to bring it to pass. Can I give you a quick outline, if you will, about how to keep your children and your family on your team? Here's what the Lord gave me a few years ago. Number one, by participation. You got it? Participation. If you want to influence your family, how many want to influence your family? You want to influence your family? You've got to participate in what they want to participate doing. Hello? If you participation, if they like to do this, find some time in your busy schedule to do some things they like to do. All right? Participation. You'll find, and I'll find, in that time when we participate with them, if it's doing whatever it's doing, just doing it with them, you'll find out they'll begin to open up their heart, and they'll begin to ask you questions, and they'll begin to be more receptive to what you got to say, instead of us just being so preoccupied and distracted by all the things going on today. And I would go a step further and say, I would get them out of the house. I'd get them from out under the television, out from under their telephone, and out from under some other things. And I would take them to where you can have some one-on-one time. You really want to influence your family? Do you really want to have some pouring into their life, or even your neighbor, which in this case, love your neighbor? Then participation is vital. I've seen some daddies and some sons, the son wanted to do this, and the daddy said, I'm not going to do that. I don't like to do that. The daddy was oblivious to the fact the son was craving attention. The son was needing affirmation as a man, and the dad, because of various reasons, missed out on an opportunity. Consequently, there was a great gulf fixed between the dad and the son, and to this day, as far as I know, it's still there. Participate. It might not be what you want to do, but do it with that daughter, with that son, with that grandchild, with that grandson. Just make some time. Pray first, yes, but then make some time. Participation. Number two, conversation. Conversation. Number one, participation. Number two, conversation. Find out what they're interested in. Find out what they like to talk about. Find out what's on their mind. You know what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. They're not telling you what's on their mind right now. They're not going to be exposing, revealing their heart right now, as long as you're busy and I'm busy and preoccupied about this, that, and the other. Rather, most of the time, it'll be in a different setting when we get them apart and we come apart from our regular busy activities. Then they're going to begin to communicate and talk with us what's really on their heart. And that's the way that God uses participation. Secondly, conversation. Thirdly, alteration. And fourthly, dedication. I'll not elaborate on those last two. Anyway, alteration and dedication. Some things need to be changed, altered, and yet dedication means committing them to the Lord. Can I tell you what happened to me here recently? I talked with a young lady, and I asked her if I could share this testimony. She said, sure. I'm not going to mention her name. But anyway, she came to me. She used to come to the church here. She said to me, I need to talk with you, Brother Pastor. I said, all right. And then she began to tell me she asked me questions, first of all, about some things in the Bible. She said, what do you think about this doctrine in the Bible? And I could see it was something more deeper than just what she asked me. How many know that sometimes when our family or loved ones or people around us want to ask questions, there's really something else they want to ask us? And if you're too busy, then you're not going to recognize it like I don't at oftentimes. But here's what this young lady began to tell me. She said, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But she said, I got out of the will of God. I stepped out of the will of God. I started hanging around some friends that I knew I probably shouldn't hang around, but I did. And then next thing you know, they were taking some mind-altering stuff. And then next thing you know, I began to compromise here and began to compromise here. And then the next thing you know, I was definitely under conviction. I knew what I was doing was wrong. And then this person told me, said, I got so desperate, and this is what this person said. They held out their arms like this and said, look. And then they showed me one cut after another 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 cut. There were slices all up their arms. And I just sat there and listened. I said, what? Tell me more. And this person said, I was so miserable. I was so hopeless. I felt so useless and worthless that I knew the devil was lying to me. How many believe the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy? But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And then this person said, I got so desperate. I was so miserable out of the will of God. I'd blown it. I messed up. And if you've ever been there, you know what we're talking about.
And this person said, so I went out in the woods. I got a razor blade, and I began to cut myself. I said, well, I knew the answer, but I asked anyway. I said, but you cut yourself. Why did you cut yourself? And they said, here's why I cut myself. It was to release the pain. I said, really? Release the pain? You're inflicting pain to release the pain. I knew what they were saying. I knew what they were going. A lot of people today, they suppress their feelings. They internalize what's going on inside of them. And then they, rather than take it out on somebody else, they take it out on themselves. That's the devil's lies. How many know what I'm talking about? In fact, Chris called me this week. Chris Evans said a young man hung himself this week. How old was he? In his 30s, I believe. Had the funeral yesterday, 38 years old. Why would somebody do that? Because the devil lied to him. Anyway, but this young person told me this. This young person said, and not only did they have their arms cut, but they went as far as cutting their throat, not here or there, but right here. And I just listened. And this person said, and then all of a sudden when I did that, I realized it was wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I said, well, what'd you do then? He said, I got up out of the woods and I went inside, blood running all down my arms and down my neck. And I said, what have I done? And I asked this person this question. I'm talking about loving your neighbor. I'm talking about leading and loving your neighbor. And this person said to me, I said, well, what's the deal? Why were you angry? Why were you mad? What's going on in your life? And you know what this person said? This person told me this. Said, my mama, I've been mad at my mama for a long time. And began to tell me all this stuff about her mom and how there was some anger and resentment built up in her heart. Now, just because maybe you hadn't cut yourself, and thank God, I hope you won't never do that, but just because you hadn't doesn't mean you're not angry, doesn't mean you're not maybe disappointed or hurt or resentful or bitter toward your family member or some person you work with. Speaking of loving your neighbor, it reminded me of one of our dear men a few years ago. I love this man, and some of you may know who I'm talking about. I'll not call his name. But anyway, he was a dear brother, and he told me, he said, and he was angry about this. He said, my neighbor, their leaves on the tree keep blowing in my yard, and I got to rake them. He said, he was so mad at his neighbor because his leaves were blowing in his yard. I'm telling you, a lot of things the devil's going to use in our life today, that sounds small and insignificant, and yet that's exactly what the devil uses to get us stirred up. Jesus said, you got to love your neighbor. Oh, yes, and there's ways to win your neighbor. I know that there are times when you got to defend yourself, and I'm not denying that, but I'm saying this. You know what this young lady said? I said, well, what are you going to do about that? And I did what I've often done here among us, and it's this. I said, well, what are you going to do about this feelings you have toward your mom? And I said, I had something in my hand, and I just gave it to him. I said, I want you to hold this right here, and I want you to hold it out. And they held it out, And I said, you know, what's happening is you're getting heavier the longer you hold it. And they said, yeah. And we prayed right then and said, hey, will you let this thing go? Let it go. You got to move on. By the way, you know when you're angry, resentful, and bitter toward somebody? You become the what? I said, you become what? Loser. Say that with me. Loser. Do you want to lose or you want to win? You got to move on. Listen to me. Look up here. I'm not saying some bad things don't happen to us as we're growing up. I'm not denying that. But our challenge is the way we respond to the things that happen to us in life. I'm not excusing or justifying things that happen to us in life, but I am saying this. I believe that God is big enough to take what the devil means for evil and turn it into good. That's the key. But it's a mindset. It's an attitude set. What are you going to do? You know, you say, faithful men. Paul said, commit thou to faithful men. Question. Y'all look up here a moment. Question. How many of you say, Pastor, I don't have time to spin my wheels on people. I don't have time to waste, to invest in people. Come on, nobody's raising your hand. I'm raising mine. I don't have time to waste. And if somebody's not really going to, you know, really follow through and really be committed, Paul said, commit thou to faithful men. And I'm willing to spend any time with anybody, anywhere, any place. But if they're not going to follow through, and if they're not going to be serious about it, don't waste my time, okay? I've got too much to do, and you've got too much to do. I love people, yes, and I'm going to give them a chance, but you don't have time, and I don't have time to waste if people will not follow through. Now you get it, don't you? Now you're hearing what he said. Paul said, commit thou, look at this, commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men, people that'll be trustworthy, people that'll be dependable, people that'll be reliable. Now listen to me. Don't chalk people off right now just because they hadn't followed through, just because they hadn't done. Don't give up on them. I'm not saying some people don't come around later, but I'm saying this. Find some neighbor. That's your child, wonderful. That's your grandchild, wonderful. If that's somebody across the road, wonderful. If that's somebody down the road, wonderful. If that's a co-worker, wonderful. Find a neighbor. Every one of us knows somebody in our life that we can find to love and lead. They'll listen. There's a lot of people that need a spiritual growth in their life. You say, but they won't listen to me. Well, have you ever asked them? Have you ever asked them if you can spend some time with them? Well, you got to ask them. Speaking of investing and faithful men, the Lord reminded me, to him be glory. As I look back on the last 28 years of being your pastor, I think of several people that come to mind just right now who are serving the Lord. For example, right up the road there. You know the young man that I'm talking about. He came to church here when we first came in 1991 as a 17-year-old young man. Mixed up, messed up. I could see him mixed up and messed up sitting on the back row back there. I could see him mixed up and messed up. I went to his work. God began to burden me for him. Went to his workplace and talked with him about Jesus. And anyway, long story short, the young man was gloriously saved. Had the privilege of baptizing him, being his pastor for 10 years. And then we as a church, New Rocky Creek, ordained him in the gospel ministry. You know where he's at now? Pleasant Grove. The Lord led him to start a Christian school. One of our young men, Andrew, is at Pleasant Grove School. Here is a young man that we spent many a Sunday nights when everybody was gone. We'd stay over in the old building for hours and hours till midnight or beyond, and other times as well. And I began to wonder, Lord, are you going to do something in this young man? Now God is doing something for his glory. Praise the Lord, I'm telling you. Paul said, commit thou to faithful men. There's some people around you right now that you are influencing, and I want to tell you, keep it up. I'm thinking of another young man right now who is pastoring a church right down the road. And I had the privilege of being his pastor. You've heard him testify. I've heard him testify. I love these young men and others who the Lord has allowed us to be their pastor and to pour into them and love them. And if I can do it, you can do it. If the Lord can do it through me, the Lord can do it through you. That's all I'm saying. This young man now is pastoring Kelly Fuller Baptist Church. Who is it? Charles Roper. He's the pastor there. What a blessing. He reminds me from time to time of what a blessing. And I say, God, you're good. You're good. What that does is help me and motivate me. It doesn't elevate me with pride because I'm nothing without him. But I think of other young men, like a man right now that's pastoring over in East Juliet. Nobody would ever dreamed he would, and yet he is. Why? Because we can't give up on people. We got to keep praying. And God will begin to birth in their heart. Who you're dealing with may not be to turn out to be a pastor or missionary. It doesn't matter. If they're just a Christian, praise God, they need to grow. Can I get somebody to say amen? God burden us for the spiritual growth. The reason America's in the shape she's in is because we need an old-fashioned revival and nothing short than a mighty Holy Ghost, heaven-sent, sin-killing, devil-defying revival will fix the mess we're in the nation. But guess what it's going to start? It's not going to start at the White House. It's not going to start at the courthouse. It's not going to probably start at the schoolhouse. It's going to start at the church house. Amen. That's what God's looking for. Your house, my house, the church house, the schoolhouse, the courthouse, the White House. God, send a revival and let it begin in me. So who's on your heart right now? Who are you gonna write down as your neighbor? Who are you gonna write down as your neighbor? We got some cards right back there on the back table. I asked Brother Bud if he would mind passing these out. Brother Jackie's ready to pass them out right now as I'm preaching. Brother Jackie, recruit somebody if you would. We're going to give you a card because I don't want you to just sit there. I want us to pray, and I want you to think of somebody who's on your heart right now. But I'm not, oh, there's Brother Bud right there. Get those cards out as I'm sharing the message. I want to now click to number two. Notice up here, number two. How are we going to love and lead our neighbor in 2019? How are we going to love and lead our neighbor in 2019? Notice this word right here. As they're passing them out, please try to stay focused on what we're talking right here just for a moment. And thank you, brothers, for doing that. How are you going to love and lead your neighbor in 2019? Do you have a strategy? Do you have a plan? Are you going to shoot from the hip? Are you going in blindly? No, there are certain ways that you and I, methods, if you will, to love and lead our neighbor. The question is, who's your neighbor, right? Who is your neighbor? Who does God have on your heart today that you're going to pray about? This card right here is to get you to be thinking and praying, and then in a moment, you're going to write it down. I'm going to challenge you to write down at least three names. At least three names. At least three names. Three names, all right? At least three names that you know right now that God has put it on your heart as we pray and trust God to use us for His glory, all right? Number two, how are you going to love and lead your neighbor in 2019? I'm sorry I didn't pass out any pencils. If you need a pen, I've got one. But maybe you can borrow one from somebody sitting around you. Three names, three names, three names. Father, put these names on our heart, and God birthed it on our soul. Open doors, give favor, influence, and we pray when all's said and done, you'll get the glory for it. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Three names on my heart today. Number two, how are you going to love and lead your neighbor? Two ways, all right? Two ways. You ready to write them down? I said, are you ready to write them down? Are you ready to write them down? Two ways. Number one, if you'll notice, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Right over the other side of the page, 2 Timothy 1. Here's the key that Paul said about Timothy. You know how he did it? Here's the explanation. Here's the nuts and bolts. Here's the way to follow through on what we're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 3. And here's two ways. All right, verse 3. If you're in verse 3, say amen. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. How long? Day and night. In my prayers. Keep reading. And greatly desiring, verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. I want to see you, Timothy. I want to spend some time with you. I want to pour into you. I want to invest in you. Commit thou to faithful men. That word commit. Look upon the board, number two. Look under number two upon the board. Here it is right here. It's in the text. Commit thou to faithful men. You know what that word commit means? It means deposit. It means entrust. That's exactly what it means, to deposit. It means to entrust. Commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men. Look at verse 4 again of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read where Paul said, I'm praying for you day and night. Now look what he says. Verse 4, I'm greatly desiring to see you, Timothy. And I'm mindful of the tears you had. And I want to be filled with joy. It gives me joy. Hey, anybody here, does it give you joy? For example, can I just use this as illustration? I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but Brother Kenneth, I know it blesses your heart to see your son Cale right here this morning and his dear wife Sissy. Amen? It blesses your heart. It blesses your heart. Melissa, you see your son Justin right here? He comes on. Isn't that a blessing? It blesses your heart. These are young men, and others of you have your children with you. Others of you have your children with you. Blesses your heart that Riley's here, right? That is Riley, and I can't tell them apart. Amen? I got to get. It blesses your heart, doesn't it? Absolutely. It blesses your heart. Oh, it does. It really does. And so Paul's saying, I love to be around you, Timothy. I love it. I got to be around you some more. I love to see those tears, your broken heart. God's got some great things in plan for you. All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Commit, deposit, and trust. Look at verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. What does that word unfeigned faith mean? It means without hypocrisy. It means pure, pure faith. It's interesting and significant, Brother Charlton, that you're here today. Notice, and I'm glad you are, notice what he said. Which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois. And we've got some good memories about Lois, don't we, Brother Charlton? We got some great memories about Lois, don't we? Amen. Your grandmother Lois, Paul said. And then look what else. First, I saw it in your grandmother, Lois. Hey, some of your grandparents don't think that God's using you. I came to tell you today, He is. He is. And Paul's reminding Timothy, your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice. Look at this. He said, first dwell in your grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. What's Paul doing? He's pouring into Timothy. He's pointing out to Timothy. Yes, he's praying for Timothy. Then we'll see he's passing on to Timothy. But wait a minute. Look what else he says in verse 6. Wherefore, verse 6, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. Wherefore I put in remembrance that thou, I love this next phrase, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Say that with me. Stir up the gift of God. Say it again. What does that mean? It means fan the flames of faith. Stir up the gift of God, Timothy, which was put on thee with the laying on of hands. I'm fixing to talk about something. Y'all listen. I'm fixing to talk about something that I know every single person in this place this morning is going to say, you know, I can do that with the help of the Lord. I can do that with the help of the Lord. So Paul is saying this. How are we going to love and lead our neighbor in 2019? Commit, deposit. What does he mean by this? Two ways. I want to encourage you today. Two ways to do that. Number one, through the power of prayer. How can I love and lead my neighbor? The power of prayer. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 3. I'm praying for you day and night. How many believe there's power in prayer? How many believe that God answers prayer? I'm telling you, Jesus said, ask and it should be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it should be open unto you. More things are wrought by prayer than the world's ever dreamed. A.C. Dixon once said, without prayer we get what man can do, but with prayer we get what God can do. How many want to see what God can do? Amen. God can move the mountains. God can calm the storm. The Lord can heal crippled bodies. The Lord can open up blind eyes. Yes, the Lord can raise dead people back to life again. The Lord can do mighty, wonderful, miraculous things such as forgive sin and calm storms. Oh, yes, he can. And therefore, don't give up praying. Number one, by praying for them. Are you praying for them? If not, those names that you are thinking about right now, those three names that you're going to put down, that God's already put in your mind and heart, that you can begin 3 to 5, I'd say, maybe more, by praying, number one. Number two, watch this, by blessing them. How am I going to lead them? Pastor, I can find somebody, but what am I to do? You're to pray for them, and then you're to pray with them. How many remember? I don't know about y'all, but I can remember, and I still remember this day. I'm so glad when we get together, like our deacons meet this afternoon, you know what we spend time doing? Praying for the body of Christ. Men praying for me. Me praying for the men. What a blessing. Hallelujah. How many need prayer? Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs somebody to intercede. And this is how you can mentor. It's how you can love somebody. It's getting down on your knees or get your heart getting on your knees. And not only praying, but watch this, by pouring into them, by blessing them. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, Timothy, stir up, fan the flames of faith. Timothy, fan the flames of faith. The fire's about to go out. It's cold outside. It's ice cold in this old sin-sick world. Timothy, don't let the flame flicker. Stir up, fan that flame, Timothy. I know it's in you. I saw it in your mama. I saw it in Eunice. I saw it in your grandmother Lois. Timothy, I know it's in you. I believe in you, Timothy. I've got confidence in you, Timothy. I'm praying for you, Timothy. Hey, you do that and you start speaking a blessing to some of your loved ones. I want to tell you, God's going to honor that. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Question. Y'all be honest. Have you spoken a blessing to somebody today? I didn't say flattery. I said a spoken blessing. In a moment, listen, in a moment, I'm going to ask you today, in just a moment, to find at least one person and speak up from your heart, not flattery, from your heart, speak a blessing.
Will you do it? That's how I'm telling you. Everybody needs and wants affirmation. You want to keep your children on your team. You want to influence people in love and lead your neighbor. You're going to do it by blessing them. Oh, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Who today, right now, this right around you, who is it right now that means something to you right here sitting in this congregation? And you want to speak a blessing to them today in just a moment. Who is it right now? They know you love them, yes, but you want to speak a blessing to them. I'm praying for you. I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your faithfulness. Like, for example, Sunday school teachers, I appreciate your example. I appreciate your influence. I appreciate you pouring in. I thank God for you. I thank God for your influence. I praise the Lord for those servant leaders. What a blessing. Oh, yes, life's too short to go around not blessing somebody. Who you're going to bless today? Who you're going to speak a blessing to today and say, the Lord bless you. I want to thank God for you. Well, there's a third way that we can pour into others, and a third way to love our neighbor. Notice, it's not only by who is our neighbor, but how are you going to do it? Prayer and blessing. Two thoughts. Number three. What tools has God given you to lead and to love and lead your neighbor? What tools? Notice what Paul said. He said, not only to find faithful men, and by the way, men may not be faithful at the beginning, but you watch this, don't miss what I'm fixing to say. When you first start talking with somebody or mentoring somebody, they might seem distracted, they might not seem like they're interested, but when you begin to pray for them, and when they begin to see you're serious, and when the Holy Ghost of God gets involved, can y'all hear me today? When the Spirit of God gets involved, you know what's going to happen? The Spirit of God's going to touch their heart. And the Spirit of God's going to show them that God honors holiness and God honors love. And there's some things in their life that they need to stop lying about and being deceitful about and get honest with God about. And they're going to watch God begin to lead them from victory to victory and glory to glory. Is there anybody here that can testify? I used to be messed up. I used to be mixed up. But I thank God for people who believed in me. I thank God for God raising up people around me when I was just a hellion. Hello. I was just my soul. And y'all don't look at me like you've been spiritual all your life. Hello. It's been somebody's loved you and somebody's prayed for you. It's been somebody's invested in you. And thank God you can do the same. Yes, you say, but I'm not qualified. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Amen. And if you're available and you say, here am I, Lord, God's going to do it. Well, I got to quickly say this. Heard of me. Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me and among many witnesses. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Write this verse down. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Paul saying to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, and the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed. Rightly divided what are true. What? Listen to me. This is going to challenge you. This is going to stretch some of us. How can I love my neighbor? You don't have to beat them over the head with a Bible and say, well, we're going to sit down and have a 10-hour Bible study. You don't have to do that. Live the Word of God. Pour out the Word of God. And that will challenge you to learn the Bible better. Amen? Yeah. Know what the Bible says. They got issues. They got problems. They need you to pray with them. And you're responsible. Each one reach one. Commit thou to faithful men. That, watch this. The things you've heard of me. You know the Bible. Love your neighbor. How do you love your neighbor? We're to love them not only through prayer and through the Word of God. I love this. I ran across this yesterday. I've read it before, but look, we're talking about neighbor. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Paul said that in Romans 15. Love your neighbor. And Jesus said it too, didn't he? Here it is right here in Romans 15 too. Let each one of us please his neighbor. I was under conviction. There's a neighbor down the road I need to go see. I didn't see him. I've talked with him occasionally. But I said, dear God, there's some people in my neighborhood that have moved in. And, and, uh,
And I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm going to follow through, Lord God, to bless your neighbor, bless your neighborhood. And then, how do we bless? By the Word of God. Hear, read, study, memorize, meditate. The Word of God's got power. Let's share with them the Word. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew and all that to tell somebody how they can have fellowship with God. Can I tell you a good rule of thumb that you may want to consider? I won't stay long on this, but those of you that are teachers, this would be a good list for you to think about as you're talking, mentoring, loving your neighbor. You ready for this? This is a good list, I think. Some doctrines of the Bible. Number one, about God. Who is God? The names of God in the Bible. A lot of people don't really understand who God is. Immutable, transcendent, and omnipotent, you know, all-powerful, all that stuff. And tell them about God, Jehovah. Tell them about Elohim. Tell them about Adonai. God, start there, the Bible. Share with them the Bible. You've been sitting in church for a while. What are you doing that for? It's not just to take in, but it's to give out, give out, give out. Tell them about not only the Bible, but Jesus Christ being God. Andrew told me the other day on Sunday night, Andrew said he had some JWs to come by. How many know what I'm talking about? JWs, all right? And anyway, he said, what'd you say to him? I forget what you told me. Something about, today's your birthday, all right? That's why. What'd you say to him? You said, I just believe the Bible, or I believe Jesus. Didn't you say that? And they said, all right, see you later. Praise the Lord. And Andrew's turning. I've been calling him Andy, but now his name is Andrew, all right? So anyway, Andrew. Hey, he's 14-year-old. Tell him, I believe in Jesus. Look, what do you know about Jesus? Was it God? Absolutely. Christology, these are all the technical terms, theological terms. The Holy Spirit. Do you know about the Holy Spirit? It's not a thing or an it. The Holy Spirit's a person. Pneumatology is the word. Angels, man, sin, salvation, the church, ecclesiology. Future things, eschatology. Tell them about Bible prophecy. We've been talking about Bible prophecy forever, and we're going to keep talking forever. Why? Because I want you to pour into others. Commit thou to faithful men that'll be able to teach others. You got influence through your family. Your family wants to know about some of these things. You say, I don't never hear them talking about it because you're not talking about it with them. Maybe you ought to bring up the subject and see what happens. And that's why we offer Sunday nights and, you know, studying the Word of God to build you up in the Word, that you might go out and know the Bible. Not maybe everything, but pour in, all right? Pour in. Last but not least, why are you going to love and lead your neighbor? Number one, who is your neighbor? Number two, how are you going to love and lead your neighbor? Number three, what tools? He's given us the Bible. Commit thou, heard, faithful men. Number four, why are you going to do what I'm asking you to do today? Why are you going to do what I'm challenging you to do today? Y'all look at me. Jesus said, do this. It's called the Great Commission. Hello? It's the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. New Rocky Creek Baptist Church doesn't have to have a new vision for 2019, although we do, and this is what we're going to follow. Love your neighbor. It's right there in the Bible. That's all we need. Amen? All we need is right there in the Scripture. But that's what I'm just kind of clarifying. So who is your neighbor? Others. Look at this. Paul said, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to do what? Teach who? Teach who? Multiplication. I teach you, you 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 teach you. And man, you can see this matter of what we call discipleship. Have you got three people on your list today? Have you got three people on your list today? Others, others, others. Others, others, others. Others need it. Others need it. Our friend that needs it. Our friend that needs it. Well, I'll tell you what. Serving the Lord is like being a firefighter. Yes, it is. Yes, serving the Lord is, you got some fires to put out. Anyway, I want to stop there because my time's gone. But I want to ask you right now as you stand to your feet.